It's time again for a Josie Show special edition episode. This is special edition number 4, when Josie welcomes her guest, Eric Lee Bedingfield. I'm Alan Firestone with Tina Passandino, and now, because she ate all her vegetables, here she is, the teenage girl herself, Josie Passandino.
Josie Show special edition episode tonight with my guest Eric Lee Bedingfield. Remember now, twice a month we'll bring you unbelievable artists and songwriters from around the world of music in a special Josie Show episode twice a month. You can tune in to your Josie Show special edition in the same place as the Josie Show at josieshow.com. Although this month we add on a Ray Price tribute special episode show on February 25th right here at josieshow.com in 8 p.m. Eastern Time Zone, which is going to be amazing. I'm beyond excited. So far, we have 3 special edition episodes for you to listen to under our special editions tab at josieshow.com. You can listen to my show with Aaron Tippin, Glenn Douglas Tubb, and David Church. And now, without further ado, I don't even want to delay. Let's just get this going. I want to bring you my interview tonight with Eric Lee Bedingfield. Here we go. Now, here is our wonderful Josie Show special edition guest, Eric Lee Bedingfield. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hi, Josie. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thanks so much for coming on. I've been looking forward to chatting with you.
Hey, me too. Me too. It's good to finally hear you in person and be on your show here.
Awesome. I am so, so excited. I want to get to know you a little bit, so we're going to a little bit more. So I'm just going to rewind a little bit back to, you know, your earliest memory when you first fell in love with the idea of making music. When was that? When did that start for you?
You know, it's around as long as I can remember. You know, as a kid, my dad played guitar, and that's when he was younger, played in bands. And so, I mean, literally some of my earliest memories are just sitting Indian style on the carpet, looking up at my dad playing and singing, you know, old Merle Haggard songs. And I guess as a kid, I thought everybody did that. And then as I got a little older, I realized how cool that was and special. And, you know, it was a real bond, obviously, me and my dad had. And it's something he was able to pass down to me. And, you know, but as far as doing it for a living, I never really thought about that much until I got into college. It was something that I did for fun. And I had always played sports and went to college to play football. And after a couple of years, had an injury. So then all of a sudden, with all that free time on my hand, it went more from something I did as a pastime than for fun. And it just kind of evolved into something that took up more and more of my time. I guess, you know, it was kind of a crutch and something I filled the void with, you know, not having sports there anymore. And you know, and then just found one thing. I kind of goofed my way in from one thing to another. Next thing, you know, I'm doing it for a living and realizing, hey, this is pretty cool to be able to, you know, do something and make a living doing something you love. And that was 13, 14 years ago. So I've been fortunate to do nothing but music that long now.
Yeah, and you're still rocking. You haven't stopped.
Yeah. No. Still going strong. You know, you always hear that expression. I remember when I was younger, I used to think it was just kind of a cliche thing to say, but people would talk about, you know, a 10-year overnight success. And there's really something to that, you know. It takes all that time and all that paying your dues to get to a point where it finally starts getting out there for other people to hear it. And they may have heard it first, you know, and think it's something you just started doing because they just heard about you. But it takes a lot of time, at least for me, putting in to get to that point. So
it's true. It does. It takes a lot of time. People think that it just, you know, just happens, but you know, there's a lot of like work behind the scenes that you have to do to make sure everything is perfect. You know what I mean? So the song,
it is.
Yeah. But I mean, it's been working out for you because I read that you've had, you know, just some charting song success. You've been named the most fun independent artist and top new artist to watch. I mean, just a few more over the years, and not to mention being 2012's Music Row Magazine Indie Artist of the Year. How does that feel when you find out that, you know, you're named, you know, most fun independent artist? I mean, how do you feel about it?
It feels great, you know. I know the hard work that has been put in and taken to get here. So, you know, that feels validating. And also, it's real humbling because I know how many great artists are out there. You know, when you look at, you know, I don't care if it's independent, major, what. I mean, there's a lot of people in this game. And just to be able to make a living at it, it feels good, you know. That's pushing a whole thing. But, to get singled out and mentioned and to have anybody or anything – you know, say you're at the top of what you do, it feels great. You know, it feels like the hard work and all the extra effort and the sacrifices that come with it being away from home. You know, it kind of gives you a nail to hang your hat on. And it also, for me, it kind of feeds the fire a little bit, you know, and puts wind in the sail to want to keep going and know that I'm certainly not satisfied by any means yet. I still feel like I did when I first started and hungry to do more and more. So it's exciting. It's exciting. It makes me feel like I'm on the right track, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it probably is a surreal moment for you when you have someone mention, you know, your music or your name in a magazine or, I mean, anywhere. It's kind of like a pat in the back. You did a good job.
It really is. You know, and also, too, that can also come with funny things. I guess it's funny. It's funny to me, but with with this last year and getting named that, I got to walk the CMA carpet for the first time this past CMA Awards. And that was really cool, but I got a dose of a lot how that works, too, because I got named on the top 10 worst dressed list at the CMA. So for me being a guy, it was kind of funny. But that's one more way your name can get mentioned.
Yeah, that's another experience to put on your list.
There you go. Yeah, I've had certain people say, you know, I was jealous when you played the Opry, and I was jealous when you recorded with George Jones, but, man, making the top 10 worst dressed list, now I'm officially jealous. That's something I always wanted to do. Of course, that's guys talking, you know. I don't think there's many girls to be too proud of that.
That is hilarious, hilarious. But, yeah, you got to do a lot of cool stuff I want to mention pretty soon here that I am just wowed about, if that's a word. I'm wowed. But you have a song titled The Gospel According to Jones, which has had, you know, outstanding successes and is in rotation at CMT, GAC, TCN. Can you tell us a little bit about this song?
Well, I tell you, it's something that's just got a real special place in my heart. Besides feeling like it's one of the, you know, proudest moments of getting to make music and give tribute to somebody who you consider one of your heroes, I was loving the way the song was coming together. I was really proud of it after we wrote it. And just really wanted to have, you know, George Jones was such an influence to me since it's about, you know, it name drops so many things of his career. You know, the song is about the life and lifestyle of a country singer, you know, and being out till all hours of the morning. Sometimes it's tough to make the church when you've been out till 2-3 in the morning on Saturday night. And it's just using all the, you know, I consider George Jones to be the definition of country music. So if you're using one artist to describe country music, it just made sense to use George Jones and use his songs. So with name drop and all that, I wanted to have his blessing. I wanted to have his approval. And this is a kind of a cool thing and one of the real special things about Nashville, because, you know, stories like this that you hear about and you think, oh, that, you know, that couldn't happen that way. That must be some kind of publicist that made up that story. But this honest to God happened. My producer and I were eating lunch and talking about how we could get that song into George's hands for him to hear. And that's really what my goal was, for him just to hear the songs and see if he liked it. And we call up, we have this lunch meeting in the state house, and the whole reason we're meeting is talking about who can get it to him. My producer also produces Dolly Parton. So he said, you know, worst come to worst, you know, Dolly and George have worked together. And she knows who you are. You know, Dolly just did an album of mine before. And he said that he would send it to her and get her to send it to him. So I was tickled to death about that. And lo and behold, we get up to leave the lunch meeting, and two booths from us is George Jones and his wife sitting there having lunch as well. It was just one of those things. It was almost unbelievable. So we're standing there kind of like deer in the headlights, just staring at him. Didn't even have a copy of the song. We had to jump in the car and run red lights and get back to the studio to make a copy of it. And I brought it back to him, you know, just told him what a huge influence he was and how much I'd love for him to listen to it. And he said he would. And Next thing I know, a few weeks later, he calls back and says not only did he love the song, but said he'd like to sing on it too. So, you know, at first I'm thinking somebody's playing a cruel joke on me, but then when I realized it was real, he and I are in the studio and recording the song, and just a real special friendship came about from that, and something I'll never forget, you know. And then he later went on and appeared in the video, which you mentioned, and even invited me to make my opera debut at his birthday party. So, it, you know, all those really cool things and bucket list things as an artist were a result, you know, a direct result of that song. So it'll always have a real special place in my heart.
Absolutely. I mean, you just mentioned it, but you got to perform at the Grand Ole Opry, and not only, you know, I mean, Grand Ole Opry, that's everyone's dream, but you got to perform, you know, at George Jones' 80th birthday there. And so how was that experience for you? Were you nervous? Were you excited?
You know, it was so surreal. It felt like a dream that I didn't have a chance to be nervous. It was one of the things that didn't really hit me until a couple of days later, what happened. And you know, my biggest fear was that night it was an all-star lineup for his birthday party. You know, matter of fact, about every person that sang there that night, I think other than myself and Jamie Johnson, were already members of the Opry. So, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, man, they're going to be looking down the nose, thinking, who's this guy? But I couldn't have been more wrong. You know, everybody was so nice. They came to my dressing room, looked at me there. They were excited for me. You know, if you're a country singer, it's kind of like playing the Grand Ole Opry would be. You know, if you're a football player, you want to be in the Super Bowl. If you're a baseball player, you want to play in the World Series. And if you move to Nashville because you love country, playing the Opry is a must. You know, it's a must. It's just one of those things you have to do, kind of a rite of passage. And it sure did feel good to not only be able to do that, but to do it that way. And it was really cool. And it ended up, you know, that was a nationally televised event. So everybody kind of got to see me get just thrown into the fire for my Grand Ole Opry debut. But it felt really good. You know, I didn't feel nervous at all about it. Just it felt right. And then a couple of days later, it just kind of hit me that, wow, you know, that really happened. my family, my grandparents got to come. I have an 87, at the time, my granddad's 87 years old. And since I was a little boy, he'd always say, you know, but one of these days I'm going to see you at the Opry. And, you know, they start getting on up there in age, and you don't know if that's going to happen. And to have him there that night, you know, that was a really, real special thing, too.
Oh, that's amazing, amazing, amazing story. And that's something that'll stay with you forever. That's not going to go anywhere.
you know what? And that's right. And that's more important than any award or anything could be is those kind of memories.
Absolutely. I agree. And I'm beyond excited because we have this song with us right now. I would like to play the Gospel According to Jones, and we will be right back, okay? I'm excited.
Thanks, Jess.
Awesome. Here we go.
It's hard to make it to the back pew, but you do what I do all night. And if the church house wasn't so far from this bar, then maybe I'd try. But as it goes, I'm just a no-show sitting here singing these songs. Spreading the message from the Gospel According to Jones. Step right on up, take the grand tour. He stopped loving her today. Still alone. That's just a few of the chapters from the Gospel, according to Jones. I'm just one of the many. There's plenty trying to fill their shoes. Well, I sure ain't no preacher, just a believer in the cold hard truth. My altar's this stage, my congregation full of lost souls. And we hold up a Saturday night service from the gospel according to Jones. Yeah, step right on up, take the grand tour. He stopped loving. From the gospel according to John.
Saint Hank and Saint Lefty were the wailers. They've all gone past on. But they're singing in heaven, says the gospel according to John.
Yeah, we're all gonna sing up in heaven, says the gospel according to John.
Great inspiration to you, but who else do you currently have on your playlist that you listen to on repeat? Who else influences you?
You know what? All the guys from that generation, you know, Jones, Cash, Waylon Jennings, Merle Haggard, you know, those are all real big influences. But I'm kind of a mutt, you know. I really am. I'm the dog that showed up on your porch and you feed him once and you don't go away. When it comes to music, I love Southern rock just as much. I love a lot of R&B, you know, big Otis Redding fan, but it seems like a lot of my influences all come out of that same era, you know, that same generation. It just, there's something magical about the music being made in that time, to me, that felt just more authentic, you know, it was real, I believe it more, and not to say that some really great artists, you know, haven't come out in the last 20 years or so, because, you know, some really good ones, incredible ones have, but to me, there's just something about that era in music, in all types of music, that just had a magic quality to it, you know. And you know, I like all of it.
Yeah, I like that you you know, like, you know, just different genres. You know, you don't close yourself off to other genres. You know, you're very open to, you know, liking, you know, just different things. You like music in general, which is really cool.
Hey,
I
think there's two types of music, and that's good music and bad music. And this is good. I like it.
Exactly. I agree. But now this is the good music. This is on my good music list. Your CD. Yes, your CD, This Life Ain't For Everybody. Can you tell us a little bit about this CD?
it's a snapshot of my life. You know, I wrote or co-wrote every song on there. And it tells a lot. There's a lot of road stories, you know, a lot of you know, just like the title, This Life Ain't For Everybody. It's literally a song about being on the road and the sacrifices you go through and being away from home. I wrote a lot of this album while I was out on my very first radio tour, so I've gone from home a lot. And it just, those themes kind of keep coming. Those themes things that tip the hat to a lot of those artists we just talked about. You know, I think it's really important for new artists to pay respect to the artists that came before them. You know, it's in country music, it's such a, as you know, it's such a powerful and huge format these days. But it, you know, it wasn't that long ago that it wasn't that way. It wasn't near as popular, and I think those artists that came before us are what made it what it is today. And I think that deserves respect and deserves to be mentioned.
I agree, and that's why I love this CD. It's honest, and it's just amazing. And I know people are going to want to get the CD and all of your other music. So where can listeners go to purchase your music?
They can go straight to my website, for one, especially if they want to get, like, a physical copy of it. We have a thing on there, anyone who orders a physical copy, you know, I'll sign it, and we'll get it sent out to them. And then, of course, you know, all the download sites are iTunes, Amazon, I'm sure there's a few others that I'm failing to mention, but anyone that that downloads me, that they can download the singles or the full albums that way too. Just look under Eric Lee Bedingfield. There's only one person with a name that long.
It's easy. I like it. It makes it easy to find you, and it's and also a website, elvrocks.com. So check it out. And also,
that is, yeah.
Yes, awesome. but also, do you have any, like...
That would kind of be important for me to mention the website, wouldn't it?
Oh, no, it's all good. See, I got you. I'm good at links. Don't worry.
Yeah, keep me in line, Josie. Keep me in line.
It's all good. I'm really good with links. That's something I know how to do. making a website, not so much, but knowing the links, I'm good. what other social networking sites do you have? The best place where fans can chat with you, get to know you.
You know what? I'm one of those guys that is always a little bit behind the curve, catching up to everything that's brand new. So, I'm Facebook is something that I, you know, keep up with and respond to. I'm just getting into the Twitter thing a little bit. I know it's been around. That sounds weird. Somebody say they're just getting into it, but I'm just, you know, technologically challenged, as I think we were discussing before. So I do pretty good to get on there. I'm hunting or fishing. A lot of times those things just don't go together.
Right. I agree.
Hunting and fishing, riding motorcycles, you know, I don't know if you're going down the road on a motorcycle and tweeting is not very safe. I don't endorse that at all.
I don't think so. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like a good combo.
Yeah. That's all right.
But I like that you're trying. I like that you're trying to get into the whole Twitter and all that kind of stuff. It's good.
It's important, and I do realize the value of it. It's pretty neat to be able to get that instant feedback and hear from folks, you know.
Yeah, you'll get it. You'll figure it out. It's easy.
Thanks.
It's not hard. Yeah. And also, I want to mention, because this is really cool, not only did you get to, you know, sing with George Jones, but you got to write and record with, you know, Dolly Parton. can you tell us about that experience?
You know, she's just such a sweetheart, you know. And, you know, and I would say when people ask about George and Dolly together, if I was to have made up a list of my favorite male artists to record with and my favorite female artists to record with, it would have been those two. I mean, I'm obviously not just saying that because I recorded with them, but they're just, you know, they're right up there with what they do. You know, they're kind of on an Elvis level, you know. It's a different kind of star. They're a star to the stars. And, you know, when Dolly walks into a room, you can literally, if there's a barometer in there, you could feel the barometric pressure change in the room without even looking at her. You know something just happened nearby. I mean, I've had her walk in a room before at the studio and not even know that she was in there and literally just get chills on them. There's just an electricity to her. And, you know, when you're around that and you see that, you realize you know, it's nothing to do with hype. It's just she's a natural born star, and what you see is what you get. You know, when you see somebody that over the top, you can't help but wonder, oh, you know, is that just a stage gimmick? Or, I mean, that's Dolly. That's just how she is. She's that bubbly. She's that over the top. She's one of the smartest ladies I've ever, you know, smartest people, for that matter, that I've ever seen. I mean, you say something to her, she's just got such a quick, witty comeback, and
yeah.
You know, if there's one more describer, it's just a, you know, a megastar. So for her to take time out of her schedule to do anything with me, you know, that just makes you want to just pinch yourself because, you know, obviously I can't do anything for her career that hasn't already been done. So I think it says a lot, too, not only the type of artist she is, but the type of person, you know, her and Georgia are to help out an up and coming artist like me. That means a lot. And I don't take it for granted. I know that they, you know, see something in me that they can waste their time with. So that's very encouraging as well. You know, makes me feel good about what I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't, you know what? I don't really have to wonder why they chose you to sing with. You are amazing, and I love listening to your songs. And you have a great voice, and you are an amazing just artist and entertainer foremost. So I could see why.
Well, I tell you what, if my head gets any bigger, I ain't gonna be able to walk out of this room. You're gonna get stuck in the door jam if y'all keep talking.
And you're funny, see? So it's a whole thing right there. So you can't go wrong.
It's the whole package. It's the whole package.
It is.
Well, quadruple threats. Just absolutely hilarious.
It is. and what I'm wondering is, because I want more stuff, you know, coming from you. So are you currently working on any other project? I know you have a single that, you know, just came out. Can you tell us a little bit about that and any more projects that you have in the works or a tour or writing?
We have a single right now on radio called Metal Outlaw Song, and it actually just this week came in at number 34 on the Music Row chart. So it was the fourth consecutive single to break into the top 40, you know, from this last album. So I'm really, really proud of that. It'll probably be the last single from this last project. And, you know, on top of that, my producer, Kent Wells, has been producing me for years that I mentioned earlier. We've gotten the studio and cut about half of a new record, and I'm really excited about that. And then here in March, I'm actually going in the studio with John Rich, who's going to produce a few other sides on me, so I'm really excited about that, too.
Ooh.
So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, that's really exciting. You have to let us know when any new stuff comes out, because we will promote.
Thank you.
Yes. Anytime. We'd love to have you back on, too, to do updates and stuff, because you have a lot of things going on.
Hey, y'all, I appreciate y'all taking the time and the interest and wanting to talk to me about it.
Absolutely. And there's actually some questions here that someone, you know, asked on Facebook, a new artist. They were wondering, you know, being a new artist and you're trying to get your stuff out there, try to get your start, what is, you know, one thing that you could tell them, some advice on how to, you know, get themselves out there?
Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is just believe in what they're doing. You know, there's no exact right or wrong answer, because if they were, everybody would be doing it. I think everybody, you know, I know everybody I've talked to that I look up to and respect what they've done in this business. It seems like each and every one of them got to where they wanted to get, you know, a different angle, you know, or took a different road there. So I think the first thing I'd tell somebody is, you know, just believe in, you know, what it is you want to do. And don't let the naysayers get in your way and tell you how you have to do it and this and that. Because truth be known, if they knew how, they'd be doing it themselves. So mm-hmm. I think you gotta just have a real deep conviction in what you're doing, feel right about it, and go for it, and be willing to really work hard. You know, I don't think this business is a job; it's a lifestyle. And if you're not willing to live it and to treat it as a lifestyle more than a career, then it's probably not the best way to do it, because there's a lot of great, talented folks out there that are willing to work that hard. And if you're not willing to do that, you know, you might just be wasting your time.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, the honest truth. I mean, if you have a passion for it, you really got to, you know, you got to work your way up there. You got to, you know, do whatever you can, because there are a lot of new artists coming out there, you know.
And have thick skin, because I don't care who you are. You're going to hear no a bunch, and you're going to hear negative things, and I think that's all the more reason you just have to believe in what you're doing, because if you let all those doors that slam in your face, you know, turn you away, then, you know, you're in for a rough ride, because that's going to happen. I don't care who you are.
Amen. Yes.
And you know, that goes in all lines of work. I'm sure with radio, promote anything is that way. You got to go for it.
It's true. You do. And I have some funny questions here, because it wouldn't be a Josie Show special edition without funny questions. So the first one is, have you ever had any funny on stage moments that you could share with us? Anything crazy, live in person?
I have had some pretty funny on stage moments. I'll tell you one that just happened not too long ago, like this last fall. I've had too many to even mention, and some that I can't mention because that just probably wouldn't be right to share. Might make some ears bleed out there. But one thing that happened this last fall, I'm playing at a show over in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and from the side of the stage, in the middle of a song, or right after one of them, my road manager waved me over to the side of the stage, and I could tell, you know, there's a concerned look on his face. And he told me that there were reports all over the place that Garth Brooks had died. So
what?
I thought, yeah, so Garth Brooks is dead, and he died in a jet ski accident, like in Canada or something. And I told him, I was like, all right, well, you know, we'll go over here. I'm going to play through another song. So I checked into that and made sure. So he looks, and then he gets reports that the Nashville news station is actually saying it, too. So this hoax went pretty deep, but, of course, at the time, didn't know it was a hoax. So, you know, I figured it's a Nashville news station saying it. It must be true. So here I go back to the crowd, and I announce to the whole crowd that Garth Brooks just died. And people are crying. They're falling out. They're holding lighters in the air. I mean, it was looking back, it's hilarious, but at the time, it was really serious, you know.
And
I think we went and played the song, the dance, and dedicated it to him. I mean, it was over the top. And after the show, we find out it's a hoax. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be banned from this town for life because I just lied to him, told him all Garth Brooks was dead. But it made for a great moment in the show. As a matter of fact, we joked around afterwards, thought we probably should knock somebody off every show just to kind of build that.
Oh my gosh. You know what, though? They do a lot of those hoax things, and I do not understand it whatsoever. Like, I mean, I don't get why you would do a hoax like that. You know what I mean?
I don't know why. You know, Jimmy Mattingly, who is actually Garth Brooks' fiddle player, he's a friend of mine and has recorded with me in the studio. He actually plays for Dolly, too, but I saw him about the next week, and he told me that he told Garth that, and Garth thought it was hilarious. He said that, you know, if he had a dollar every time that somebody said he was dead or did this and that, he said he wouldn't have to, not that he does have to worry about playing anymore, but he said he was the case. Yeah. But that was pretty funny. That's one I'll always remember.
That's funny looking back on it. You know, probably not at the moment, but now that you look back on it, that's
oh, yeah. We were laughing about it. And even the owner of the venue, he's like, man, he said, I don't care. He said, my, you know, beer sales, they like tripled right after that. Everybody was all upset and drink way they cares.
Wow. See, that performance moved them.
There you go. It must have been a good version of the dance. I don't know.
I don't know. It was good. That is crazy, crazy, crazy. But those hoaxes, those were interesting.
There's girls on the front row being like, oh, just sing, you can get through it.
I know. I don't understand. But here's another fun question. What's the craziest thing that you have seen, you know, happening out in the audience while you were performing that you're like, you know, I shouldn't look at this person because I'm going to burst out laughing, or just keep playing. You know, have you ever seen, you know, a fan that was a little bit too excited?
I mean, if you can name it, once again, there's things that I wouldn't feel comfortable saying on a radio show, especially
not
to a couple of lovely ladies. But one thing that happened, and this kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier about paying dues and working hard to get through it. Back this was probably 10 years ago, there's this little bar right around Jacksonville, Florida that I used to play, and it really had a reputation as being a very, very rough joint. And it was my first time playing there, and me and my band are in there the afternoon prior doing a sound check. And while we're in, and all we heard is all we call about how rough this place is. They were like, man, it's just, it is rowdy, you know. It's like one of them things from the movie Roadhouse. So we're walking in there expecting to see, like, system wire around the stage, you know. And we get in there, we're sound checking, and these two guys playing pool get into a fight. I mean, this is like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And one of the guys gets tased, like with one of these big police tasers. There's an off-duty cop in there sitting at the bar and tased one of the guys. So we're just sitting there looking at each other like, oh, my God, it's only 2 in the afternoon. People are already getting tased in here. It's going to really be rough tonight. But it ended up being one of my favorite places to play. So I don't know. I guess I'm just an old redneck at heart, too.
Yeah, I mean, that is crazy. That was funny when you said it's only 2 in the afternoon and people are already getting paid.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Wow. At least wait at like 4 or 5. I mean, come on, people.
Yeah.
And
it's 2 o'clock somewhere. Yeah, that's what they say about getting paid.
True.
Might as well do it at 2 o'clock somewhere.
Might as well. That is hilarious. You are a funny guy, and I am so, so glad that you came on the show, and you have to come back again. I'm serious about that.
I'd love to. Y'all just reach out. I had a ball talking to you. This has been great.
Awesome.
Hey, Jody, thank you so much for having me on your show. And once again, I really appreciate y'all taking y'all's time and willing to put me and my music out there. I appreciate everything you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. Eric Lee Bedingfield, everyone. Check him out at elvrock.com. Do it. Yes, that was so much fun chatting with him. And now let's play some music. I am so beyond ready. So let's play his very, very recent single, That Old Outlaw Song, and we'll be right back. Let's play it right now.
Johnny Cash took me to prison. Haggard sang me back home. Bo Cephas said that a country boy can make it on his own. Waylon said, better watch out, hoss, it'll sure get out of hand. Willie smoking up the bus on the road again, singing that outlaw song. It's been going on long before I ever came along. That old outlaw song, it'll be playing strong when I'm 6 foot deep in the ground, dead and gone. But before I die, let me add a line of my own to that old outlaw song. You can take this job and shut it if you're on my fighting side. Everybody knows if you're big star bound, it's a long, hard ride. There's Saturday night special, Sunday morning coming down. There's a devil loose in Georgia, it's not riders in the guitar town. Singing that outlaw song, it's been going on long before I ever came along. That old outlaw song, but before I die, let me add a line of my own to that old outlaw song. There's songs about love and living, songs about love and women, but the only one that really turns me on is that old outlaw song.
Bedingfield's very new single, That Old Outlaw Song. And now let's play some more of his songs. Let's play right now, This Life Ain't For Everybody, and we'll be right back.
Well,
played till 3 a.m. in some Alabama honky-tonk. Paying my dues by moaning these blues and making this guitar talk. Living like a gypsy out here on the road ain't for the settling kind. No, this life ain't for everybody, but I'm sure glad it's mine. Been 3 weeks since I got to sleep in my own bed. Wake up with last night on my breath and it ringing in my head. Anything worth having, they say's worth a sacrifice. But you gotta pay if you wanna play, and honey, I don't mind the price. All this life ain't for everybody, but I'm so glad it's mine. Making my rounds, going town to town, party all the time. I might hang around about a day or two and then move it on down the line. Oh, this life ain't for everybody, but I'm so glad it's mine. Band is the only life I know. Roll it in, set it up, tear it down, then it's on to another show. Hop on the bus, vanish in the dust like a ghost into the night. Well, I know I just said hello, but now it's time to say goodbye. All this life ain't for everybody, but I'm so glad it's mine. Making my rounds, going town to town, partying all the time. I might hang around about a day or two and then move it on down the line. And this life ain't for everybody, but I'm so glad it's mine. I might hang around about a day or two, just move it on down the line. On this life ain't for everybody, but I'm so glad it's mine. I said this life ain't for everybody, but I'm so glad it's mine. I'm so glad it's mine. And I'm so glad it's mine.
Eric Lee Bedingfield's that we have tonight is his song Come On, and we'll be right back.
Something I've been trying to tell you, but I can't find the words to say. Every time you come around, honey, my thoughts just slip away. There's so much that I need from you, baby, and I don't want to waste 1 minute of time. So I'll get right to the point and tell you what I need tonight. I need you, baby, to come on over here and let me treat you right. I need you, baby, come on over and make sweet love tonight. Yeah, come on, come on. Yeah, won't you come on over tonight? Come on, come on. Girl, let me treat you right. I got a million things that I want for you to know. I got about a million more, babe, I want to do to your body, oh, so slow. We can lie
light a couple of candles. We can dance in the bedroom to the radio. You know it's all about you, honey. When I turn the lights down low, I need you, baby, to come on over and let me treat you right. I need you, baby, to come on over and make sweet love tonight. Come on, come on, yeah, won't you come on over tonight? Come on, come on, girl, let me treat you right. I've been thinking about you all day long, and I'm right on the verge of going insane. I laid it all on the line for you, honey. Told you how I feel. Don't leave me hanging. I need you to come on over and let me treat you right. I need you, baby, to come on over and make sweet love tonight. Yeah, come on, come on, yeah, won't you come on over tonight? Come on, come on, girl, let me treat you right. I said, now come on, yeah, come on, won't you come on over tonight? Come on, yeah, come on, girl, let me treat you right.
I want to thank everyone so much for tuning in tonight and joining me for another Josie Show special edition episode. I had a blast tonight. I hope you guys did too. We'll keep this interview up on our special editions tab here on the show site at josieshow.com so you can listen again. Again and again, or tell all your friends to come listen. We'll be back again with the Josie Show Special Edition on Monday, February 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will bring you a Ray Price tribute show through the great efforts of Don from Keeping It Country and the Josie Show team. So until then, remember to tune in weekly on Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern to the live Josie Show at the same place, josieshow.com. Also, don't forget the radio station launch of Josie's Country Blast Radio was on Saturday, February 9th, my birthday. So now you can listen 24/7 to our licensed radio station right here at josieshow.com or at our station site at Josie's, J-O-S-I-E-S, countryblastradio.com. And you can also listen live through our Facebook page as well. So special thanks again to my guest tonight, Eric Lee Bedingfield. You can find out more information on Eric at his site, elbrocks.com. I'm your host, Josie Pasentino, and until next time, remember, sometimes you have to make the hard decisions and turn your world upside down to achieve your dreams. Go after what you want, make great friends along the way, and love the whole journey. Good night, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.